Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew, hour number two. Tomas, we're headed to the playoffs. We have the Carolina Panthers and the Donkey Boy coming into town.
There he is.
There he is. Made a little guest appearance. I don't know, man. I'm excited about this. I think everything's set up, in my opinion. Everything is set up for the Saints to make it to the NFC Championship game. Maybe I'm premature. I know you told me not to do that, but I don't play. I'm not on the team. I can get ahead of myself if I want to. Although at least there's some disappointment because I was expecting us to win on Sunday. Didn't happen. We lost 24-31 to the Los Angeles. No, we didn't. Make that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's about the same, right? I don't know. I think the Rams are a little bit better.
They're a little different team.
Yeah, a little bit different team. But listen, I think that it's going to be a long road to hoe. But I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm going to quit talking about let's talk about Carolina. Matter of fact, you know, we got to pay the bills.
Yes.
And every time we play Carolina, we always get these additional
revenue.
These companies want to run their ads.
Yeah.
So let's get some.
All right, go ahead.
Do you wake up sleepy? Do you lack confidence and self-esteem? Do you often see the world as it is and not how you wish it would be? Well, now there's CamaFed, a new, all-natural male enhancement product. Why spend time, effort, and hundreds of dollars on products that just don't work? Now, instead of being better at something, all you have to do is take CamaFed, and you'll just believe you are.
Who are you to say that your way is right?
Now you no longer have to worry about being a better athlete. You just believe you are.
And I leave everything else out on the field.
You'll become the team leader you always wanted to be. Not because you work harder or sacrifice more, just because you believe you are. Ask your doctor if all new CamaFed is right for you. Side effects may include, but not limited to, delusion, choking, inability to fall on balls late in the fourth quarter, an overinflated idea of your own self-worth, loss of respect from your teammates and fans. Because when that big moment in life occurs and you fail miserably, you can still believe you're successful with CamaFed.
There you go. It's a walk down memory lane, Tomas.
Yep.
I mean, you know, those sponsors start coming out of the woodwork anytime the Saints are playing old Cam Newton.
The old Panthers.
Old Panthers, yeah. So, okay, tough game. We're going to win this. We're going to pull it out. What's the deal?
Well, I think that the matchups are favorable. I think that our defensive backfield will be set up well against what Carolina has. I am concerned about our linebacking crew.
Right.
But again, you said that Olsen is not 100%. So, not being 100%, I think that Teo, who has stepped up.
Absolutely.
I think that Teo can deal with it, with Robertson. My big thing, you know, when we're talking about all the people that we lost, let me tell you, to me, yes, I know we lost a lot of players. And really, I have to tell you, fairly, I don't think has affected the team.
See, I heard you say that last week.
I just don't. Davidson has really stepped it up. So has Onyemata. So has Rankin.
Absolutely. But
there was no guarantee. Let me say this again. Fairley played balls to the wall last year because he had a one-year deal.
He had to prove himself.
Okay, fine. He did got his contract, but you know what? There's no guarantee, brother. You know, this year he could have been nothing. So I like where we are. My big loss, we have two players that I think really make a difference on defense. Okafor. I think the loss of Okafor, we have not replaced him in any way, and Anzalone. I think that those two men, not being on this team, have made a world of difference to our defense.
Well, okay, right off the bat, Okafor, huge, because while he wasn't dynamic, he was a solid pass rusher, and he was underrated
in
rush defense. I mean, he'd stick his nose in there. He was a beast. The guy is a quality player, and what's funny is I thought he was good, but I didn't really appreciate how much the loss would affect us.
Yeah.
Having said that, then maybe it's because we then had Kikaha, who's since been put on IR himself. Now we still have Hendrickson. And I'm hoping that he's going to be healthy enough to play on Sunday evening. Because, listen, the size, you can't replace the size. And the guy's a good pass rusher. He's still young. He hasn't developed as well as the other guys, but he's shown enough to make me think that he's going to develop on the pace of a normal rookie. Not the rookies that we've seen so far this year.
Right, right. Well, and he's got excellent hand movement, and that's one thing that separates him from the other people. So, yeah, you know, God willing, he's not on inactive, you know, and we'll see about Muhammad. I mean, Muhammad was in there in a couple of special team plays. You know, I don't think he'll be ready till next year, but at the very least, you got to change a pace guy. If nothing else, you know, you can say, hey, we got third and 23, put him in that corner there and just let him get the guy out there.
Now,
you know,
but, you know, a guy who's exceeded my expectations, he has exceeded anybody's expectations unless they're unreasonable.
Johnson.
I don't know anything about his boy Elroy, but that's what I think of when I hear his name. So he's putting pressure on the quarterback. And I mean, quite frankly, if he gives us any productivity.
But now here's the problem. Okay, I agree with you. He's done a good job. And I think he's far exceeded what anybody expected of him. Because, you know, the word was that he didn't really play every down. And, you know, but he seems to have, you know, turned it on coming to the Saints with a chance for a championship.
Well, if you have a guy who's talented but only plays every so often, you say, hey, man, come play the last two games and we'll put you in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe you get something.
Yeah. But here's the problem. Like a lot of the people that we have right now on our defensive line, they're not young enough to really give us the whole. This is what happened against Tampa Bay. Our defensive line was gassed out.
A lot of it had to do with circumstance.
That last drive.
And let me just clarify that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to say, like, at that time, we had played defense. At some point, man, that loss, a lot of it has to be on the offense for not sustaining drives.
I disagree, but I'm just saying to you that at the end of the game, our defensive line.
They were gassed.
Right, got nothing left in the tank.
Nothing in the tank.
They're taking three steps and pretty much just standing there and putting their hands up in the air going, well, maybe I'll block it.
Hopefully
I'll
get one of those blocks we've been getting all season.
So, you know, but I do agree that he's been a pleasant surprise.
I mean, anybody you can get at week 15, 16, something like and that can provide anything. The guy was on the street.
Yeah.
You just got to look at that as found money. So I'm excited about that. Look, it's good to have because now even if Hendrickson comes back and he gives us good play, just like
well,
you
now
said,
you
guys got, now you have another guy that can come in and help you out. All right, Tomas, first hour we did the good. We managed to get to the bad. Now we have the ugly.
All right.
So are you ready for your
I'm ready for my ugly.
All right.
Here's my ugly. I am just beside myself with this offensive game plan. You know, I appreciate that our boy Wonaday, Mr. Coleman, is a hell of a blocker. I can appreciate that. But Snead is a small guy. And I know he's out there hustling trying to block. But look, if you just want blockers, bring in two more offensive linemen. I mean, we need some receivers. You mentioned this earlier. You know, we have nobody in the middle of the field. Well, if Snead is not the answer, we picked up this guy who's been sitting on a bench car, put him in instead. If you've lost all confidence in Snead, and sit his behind down and say, hey, you know what, we're not signing you back up. You're done at the end of this year. Thanks so much. Have a nice day. You know, because it makes no sense to me if these teams now in the playoffs are going to be keying on Michael Thomas and Kamara. We need somebody. We need somebody. And if you don't have the confidence to throw the ball at least one a day, maybe plus iron,
Times to Coleman. Get those two, yeah.
You know, I mean, what are we doing? We already know we don't have a tight end. Right. Hill, he's just there for blocking. Who, man? Just there for blocking. Well, guess what? Bring Larabius in. Bring in Fullington. You know, bring in somebody else who's an offensive player, well, at least a guard. You know, I just don't understand what we have to have some kind of. Now, again, hope springs eternal.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that we've been holding back. I'm hoping that we're holding back. And so now we go into this game, and the Panthers are going to be thinking, hey, they're not throwing it to that guy, so let's not cover. Good. Don't cover him. Maybe Snead will suddenly wake up. And we get a 5 yard, a 10 yard, three, you know, whatever happens to be.
Now, I know you know. I mean, if you bring in the bigger guys and you bring in, you know, the point is having these receivers out there is the threat of a pass. So they're going to bring in.
Yeah, the threat
equivalent.
If he actually threw a ball at him.
Well,
once
I mean,
in a while.
And I get it. They still have to cover him. And I'm with you because to me, in order for the Saints to make serious noise in the playoffs, someone else has to emerge. Like, I'm reading things and fans and their expectations. I think people are expecting that the 09 or the 2011 Saints offense is going to all of a sudden appear. Like, oh, man, we've been struck. This is what we are now.
I know.
We are a running team. We ball control. We're struggling to convert third downs. Now, we do a lot of other things really well, but we're not going to all of a sudden catch fire and start just being the 2011 Saints. Now, having said that, and this is, again, the hope springs eternal. If Willie Snead can, and I'm just using him because he's a guy who has done it, done it on third down.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden the Saints can somehow figure out a way.
To use him.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I've never been a Coleman fan. And when these
people. Oh, come on now.
Expectations.
Come on now. Never.
And the thing about it is he started being solid enough, but at the end of the day, the whole Saints receiving core outside of Thomas has to be revamped
in
the offseason.
I agree.
Like, listen, you are not.
I would keep Ginn.
And I'm sorry, but Ginn is what he is. He has his specific role, and I would keep him too. But you have to have another guy that you can throw the ball to.
Yeah. Tommy Lee's got to go.
Tommy Lee's got to go.
I think he's going.
Tommy Lee's got to go
after that fumble.
Coleman, I'm sorry. Listen, Coleman. If you depended on guys like Coleman.
He lasted longer than Double A. Or your boy Toon.
Toon or Adrian Arrington. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
So the point is that, listen, he's good for one or two catches. He blocks pretty well. I get it. That's fine. You need a better player, one you can count on. You can see the Saints were trying to feel confident in him.
Yep.
And as soon as he made a couple of mistakes, they're done.
The
and you can say, oh, give him more. No. At some point, there are players and they're victims.
Yep.
And there are victims on the field. They're the guys who are waiting to give up the big pass or get trucked or pass interference.
Yep.
They're sitting there. They're just guys on the field just hanging on. And that's all Coleman is.
Mm-hmm.
He'll catch a ball thrown right to him. Every receiver in the league can catch that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman does nothing special. I will admit he's a good blocker because he's a big guy. He gets his hands on those DBs.
Yeah.
Having said that, we need an upgrade. We need to revamp the entire wide receiver crew. Now, you already messed up my ugly.
I'm sorry.
My ugly Tommy Lee Lewis. And what's funny is, tell me I'm wrong. I told you at the beginning of the game, I should not say this.
Yeah, and you said it.
But
he just seems so natural.
He's the one guy.
You put the mouth on it.
I did. It's my fault. I take responsibility. I put the kibosh on Tommy Lee Lewis.
And there is right there.
And you know, Don Bobo
came out.
Don Bobo, he wasn't happy.
You talk, and I going to get you.
And he did.
You didn't make the proper sacrifice.
Don Bobo was upset. Didn't it? Listen, I think of all the stuff. The receivers that we have, Tommy Lee catches the ball most fluidly and effortlessly. So it wasn't, but he's fumbled those in the past. I was watching an old game. I can't remember which one it was. Snead was returning punts. They put him back there because he's a good hands guy. He fumbled. So at some point, listen, if you can't catch a punt, you can't field a punt, you're not a receiver that the team can trust and go to, then what is the point of – and I get you can't have everybody be all-stars on your team, but we have to improve and upgrade. Now, my ugly was the fact that not only did he fumble, it's the way he fumbled it, it's instead of going down to the ground, he actually protected the ball.
Up to a certain point.
And to a certain point, then as he was getting tackled, he sticks his arm out to protect his fall instead of just – taking the ball, protecting it, going to the ground. He was more concerned with protecting himself. It's human nature. Guys that are tough, they get the ball, they, boom, Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram don't kind of slide to the side and put his arm down and try to protect his fall. He takes his hit and he goes to the ground.
Yep.
And that's where Tommy Lee made his mistake, is he was protecting his fall and got the ball stripped out. Having said that, you can't have a guy – listen, now I guarantee you the Saints have lost confidence in him. Wouldn't surprise me at all if all of a sudden Kamara's back returning punts, kickoffs, whatever, in the playoffs.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Listen, they're going to put Kamara in. He's going to be the receiver. He's going to play some DB. Maybe, listen, if Henderson's not ready – some tight end. If Henderson's not ready, they'll have him coming off the edge too. Whatever it takes, that's gonna they'll end up having Kamara do it because he's that guy.
Yep. Okay, but now I just want to say one thing.
All right, let's hear it.
I want to give, you know, we just had a bunch of college football games.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's amazing that the SEC will be the two teams in the championship, right? They talk bad about the SEC. Okay. So let me throw out a name. Just to get all of those people inspired who always say that we never have a guy from this team on our team. You know, we have this wide receiver sitting on the practice squad. LSU boy.
Oh, Darrell, is it?
Darrell.
Yeah.
He's a wide receiver. 6'2", 207. What do you have to lose? You got nobody else out. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's
just,
not time to experiment. I feel you, man. It's not time to experiment.
And I think all those LSU people are like, oh, yeah. Okay,
I mean,
well, there you go.
It's not time to experiment yet. You know what's funny?
Tigers, go Tigers.
It's not time to experiment yet, but, you know, man, he's a guy I'd like to see him develop into a guy that he might be somebody that potentially could do something. But anyway, one way or another, we need somebody to step up. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Tomas Mauricio.
Is Tanner Sports still available?
Talk, 97.7. Don't go there.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
I'm just adding my little flavor to it, that's all.
Is that all it is, just a little flavor?
Yeah.
Flavor?
I mean, I'm not throwing nothing on it like Britney Spears was throwing on it, but, you know, doing a little bit of something. Listen, easy over there. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. It's Dave Romero, Tomas Mauricio.
Here.
Sports Talk 97.7, Rustin and Monroe, bringing it to you, Saints news, Saints talk, going over all the stuff going on. The Saints lose, but hey, that's water under the bridge, man.
They move on.
Listen, everything else worked
out. Everybody's 0-0 right now.
That's right. 0-0.
Look at
it. We in the dance.
That's
and
correct.
The thing is, everything else worked out. Like, we may have lost, but if the Panthers win, now we're a wild card team. We didn't even win the division. But they didn't. Atlanta came through for us. You know, like your little brother. You know, we might have fight, but they knew they wanted to take care and make sure that we were okay.
Well, I'm just saying to you, I'll repeat again, the Rams might have a problem.
I can see it. Man, listen,
be interesting to see the Falcons beat the Rams?
Okay, here's where it's not interesting, Tomas.
Okay, tell me
because
what's not
it messes up my plan.
Well, I'm so sorry for your plan.
And the sad thing is, as much as I feel like I understand all this, it didn't hit me till a day or two ago.
All right.
If Atlanta wins,
yes,
all of a sudden
we're
not going to Philadelphia anymore.
Five.
We're going to Minnesota.
That's correct.
So now where Atlanta helped us out, they could really hose us. And here's the thing. Atlanta goes to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
If they pull that out, they have a good defense. They'll shut Philadelphia's offense down. If they find out a way to win it, those guys are going to the NFC Championship game.
Against the Saints.
It would be against the Saints. And that's assuming we take care of business in Minnesota.
Well, but you're assuming all these other things. I just assume, hey, you know what? We're not the same team that played against Minnesota in the first game.
We aren't.
All right?
They aren't either.
They aren't either. That's true. But I'm telling you right here, right now.
And I mean that in our favor.
That's
they
correct.
They don't have the dynamic running back. They have a solid running game, but and different quarterback.
Yep.
Listen, Case Keeson. Casey Kasem.
So, Casey, please play it for Susie Clark in Biloxi, Mississippi, from her husband, Roy, overseas. Thank you. Roy, here's your long-distance dedication.
All right, so there you go. Now, Casey Kasem plays quarterback for – now that's a great song back in the day.
Song, yeah.
But now Casey Kasem plays
quarterback for the Minnesota
Vikings. He's different than
he's as old as the Viking.
Yeah.
Oh, he's dead.
And here's the thing.
Valhalla.
Okay, now you're getting into deep stuff, all the Viking stuff from way back. We don't want to hear that, though. Don't they play that when they score?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't hear none of that. So, but listen, they don't have the running back, different quarterback.
Yep.
We now have our defensive backfield is now.
And we're going to steal it from Thielen.
Stealing from Thielen. They tore us up in the first game,
not
man.
This time. Lattimore is going to be right there.
You ready? You think they're ready? They think they're ready. Matter of fact, speaking of ready, are you ready for a Tomas rant?
I guess so.
Oh, my God, it's going to blow!
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow!
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
Facts don't mean anything to me.
It's
going to
blow! It's going to blow!
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
It is a certainty. Sooner or later, I'm going to blow. So let me tell you what I'm going to blow about this time.
I'll let that slide. I'll go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue on.
You have a filthy mind. All right. I'm a volcano. Matter of fact, you know, I just saw, you know, Allstate changed their commercials. The guy who used to be...
What, Mayhem?
Mayhem.
Yeah.
Now he's not Mayhem anymore.
No, he's...
Now he's like, you know... He's laying down on the street, got a flame coming out of his head.
Yeah,
he
saw that one.
Yeah, yeah. Not me. I'm still Mayhem. Now, let me tell you what it is. And, you know, you alluded to this earlier, Mr. Romero. It is customary that the coaches after the game walk out into the middle of the field, shake hands, and tell each other, better luck next time. But in this particular case, our coach, the best coach in the NFL, in my opinion and the opinion of many, came out and gave him a good old whack and told him where he should stick it where the sun doesn't shine. That should have been the end of the story. But instead, did you see the interview afterwards with Dirk Cutter? Well, I was just trying to tell him good luck in the future. What a douche! Are you kidding me? As if that hadn't happened the other way around. He would be saying, you know, not no good son of a gun. Oh, you know, I was just trying to tell him good luck in the future. Oh, give me a break. Now, I'm telling you how it is. I like to see coaches, and a lot of people saying, hey, you know, coach needs to control himself. Why? He needs to fire up our players. Because we got a tough game coming up. And we can't lose this game because of bad officiating. I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm telling you. These officials, look, it's even bad in the college games. Did you see some of these college games? These officials making it there, you know, like the Kentucky game.
Oh, my God, yeah, yeah. That was horrible.
He bends over, gives a hand. The guy says, I don't want your hand. Well, you're out. How dare you slap my hand away? These damn referees are out of control. So I applaud Coach Payton for being a man, standing up for his players, telling Cotter, you know what? You're no good as a coach. You should take care of your men. If you can't take care of them, get off the field. Good luck, my eye. So that's my rant.
Man, I mean, that's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh. Listen, I like how...
Are you for a loss for words?
The opinions expressed by Tomas do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and views of David Romero or the BS and Beer podcast. And David's silence should not in any way be mistaken for agreement on the subject. Sometimes we just have to get on with the show.
Look, Tomas...
Yes,
I agree with you to a certain extent. Man, it's two times. I mean, maybe it's, you know, people, I like seeing the old Peyton back. I don't know if he's going a little bit too far. I mean, he's about to get in a fist fight in the middle of the field over there. And in the week before, he's going after scaring the officials. At the Atlanta game, we were talking about it before.
Yeah, he jumped out.
The way he did it, I think the reason that guy, I don't know if he threw the flag so much as he just pooped it out. Because the way he kind of exploded out whenever he was like, and I think that referee just kind of got that cold chill go down his body like he's coming after me, and that's why I threw the flag. And then having this is, you know.
Well, Dave, here's what I'm saying to you, brother. I appreciate your opinion, but you should listen to the beginning of my rant introduction.
Uh-huh.
My opinion overrules the facts.
That doesn't matter what the facts are. I appreciate that. But listen, I have no problem. I like the coach being fiery.
Yeah, I do.
Just as long as it don't get the best of him in game situation.
I don't think he did.
As long as he's not doing stuff like, you know, kicker, you know, reverses and stuff like
that. I can appreciate he put that in a film book, but you know what? No.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero. Listen, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio is where it's at. Don't go away. We coming back with some more Saints talk.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio on Sports Talk 97.7. What we have going on before we get to anything else, I have some audio from Sheldon Rankins, And he talks a lot about Cam Newton and their first couple of victories and how he thinks that'll affect it. So let's listen to what Sheldon Rankins had to say. Yes, yeah, so the media talked to Sheldon Rankins on Monday, and they asked him how he felt the defense would go about stopping Cam Newton, especially here the third time.
Just try to make him as one-dimensional as possible. Not allow Cam to run all over the place and affect the game with his arm and his legs. And create takeaways, give our offense extra possessions, and don't allow Cam to get into a rhythm. You know, we feel like if we can do those things, disguise some coverages on the back end, make it hard for his reads, you know, he plays right in our hands.
Sheldon was asked if, based on the way that Jameis Winston got out of the pocket, is there any concern about that lingering on to another mobile quarterback?
No, I don't think so. I think we've done a good job all year of containing mobile quarterbacks and setting edges in the run game, stopping the run. Obviously, yesterday didn't go as we wanted it to, but this is a whole new season. The postseason is a whole different ball game, and all we can worry about is Carolina. So, you know, Carolina's coming off a game they didn't like how they played, so they're going to get back to basics. They're going to get back to trying to establish the run. They're going to get back to establishing that three-headed monster they have in the backfield with McCaffrey, Stewart, and Cam himself. So we're looking forward to it. It's a challenge. You know, this is exactly what you want in the postseason, you know, going into it, a home game, a team you beat twice, and a crowd that's going to be a you know, ready to help help our defense win this game.
Rankins was also asked if he thought that the first two wins the Saints had against Carolina early in the season would have any effect on this game.
They matter, but they don't. You know, obviously, you know, it gives you some confidence that you've already beat this team twice. Gives you some confidence in the fact that you kind of know what they're going to do. Them, you know, so to speak, as an offense. So, but at the same time, it's a different season. It's one, you know, if we lose, it's over. We win, we keep on going on. So, at the same time, it matters, but it doesn't. We just got to try to win this game.
Sheldon was also asked what he thought, in particular, that they would need to do to slow Cam Newton down.
Like I just said, I think disguises and coverages, giving him multiple looks, throwing a lot of things at him, not allowing him to get a beat on, you know, where the coverage is rolling down to, who's coming, who's not, different stunts up front. You know, I think if you can always keep Cam on his toes, definitely gives you the best chance to win. But we're going to have to come out and prove we can do it again for a third time.
Rankins was also asked why he thought that first win when the Saints were 0-2 against the Carolina Panthers was a turning point in the season.
I just think it kind of was able to breathe some confidence into us, creating three turnovers, you know, just kind of keeping him, you know, flustered all game, and then our offense being able to roll the way they did, just kind of, you know, let everybody know, hey, we're not a bad team, we're not a bad defense, you know, this is something we can do. What we were during the preseason wasn't a fluke. It's something we can truly be, and we roll with it from there.
All right, Tomas, there you go. Sheldon Rankins with some thoughts about the Carolina Panthers. If you know, does it matter that we beat them in the past? Does it affect it?
You know, it's really hard to beat a team three times.
It's so silly. Yeah. The thing about it is, I would say if the teams are even, which this does worry me, because I think, you know, Carolina and the Saints, both same record, might have gotten to that record in different ways.
Yeah.
But having said that, they're not a bad team. It's just every time we played them this year, it kind of felt that way, right? So
I don't know. Every time I see them on the TV, I marvel at how they can win a game.
Yeah, I agree with you. But that's where I'm torn, because there's a part of me, I agree. I watch them, and I think they're not very good. But they find a way to win. But then I look, they beat
again,
Chicago.
It goes back.
They beat, you know.
Look, it goes back. They drafted this kid, McCaffrey.
Right.
I still don't think they know how to use him.
No.
After all this time, I still don't think they know how to use him.
No,
it's Tommy from West Wego. I need to talk to that
Benjamin
Dave Romero about the way he be picking on my boo Cam Newton.
Of the inaccurate
I know he playing the same bunch of teams that my Saints playing, but you can't be mad at no fine man like that that dressed so nice. Just this summer, I saw him coming out of the Golden Mansion on Royal Street. He had some nice pumps on, purple stretch pants with racist stripes up down the side, and an orange and black vest with a bow tie and a nice sombrero.
In the lineup,
can't just nobody pull that off.
But having said that, he doesn't
you better
quite
check
have
yourself.
The
color ugly
Benjamin
don't
has.
Look
so
good
I'm not
on
sure
you,
how
Dave.
It all went. I do remember in the offseason, Benjamin came in. I mean, they showed video of him. I mean, video of him. He looked like way overweight. Maybe there was more to it than just,
been,
you know what,
you never know.
We're trying to get more catches for Funches.
The Buffalo's in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, and Buffalo's talking about, I was listening to him on the NFL Network. They Buffalo really likes what Benjamin's doing. Yep. I think he got hurt in the game.
Yep.
I don't know what his availability is going to be. But I tell you what, we have a couple of hotline phone calls.
All right, let's listen up.
Let's get that. Now, matter of fact.
Wait, what's that number that these people
exactly
called in
that
on?
We always leave out?
Yeah.
701-901-1295, mm-hmm. The graffiti hotline. You call, you leave a message. There's no waiting. There's no hold.
Keep
no
it
producer.
Short, precise, clean. We're good to go.
All right, let's see what we got.
Hey, guys. It's B-Train from Saints Report again. I just want to make a couple comments. One, despite the ugly finish there against Tampa, you know, I'm pumped up. These New Orleans Saints are NFC South champions again, so it feels good to finally say that after, you know, a long few years. The other thing I wanted to see was I want to see what y'all's thoughts were on the exchange between Coach Payton and Coach Cutter at the end of the game there. If you guys think that the media is looking too deep into that, or maybe there was something more to that. Thanks.
Hey, B-Train, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. We covered that pretty extensively. Tomas used it in his rant.
Yep.
And having said that, I don't think anybody's making too much of anything. Because here's the thing. First of all, it has become apparent to me that the fans will defend Coach Payton absolutely to the end.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
well,
look, whether he was right or wrong, the fact it happened.
He's our coach.
He's our coach, but the point is it happened.
Yeah.
It was obvious. I don't know who held on to the handshake too long.
Yeah, that was
the
funny part
I don't
too.
Know, but Payton was not happy. They used the audio, and there was cuss words involved. Salty language. There you go. That's much better. So thing about it is, you know, I thought what happened, I don't know, man. I think it's kind of water under the bridge. You think that Payton was really upset about it, maybe he should have robbed the phone call.
A lot of these little yucking ears now, they're talking about how, we're going to remember that for next year when we play. Well, good, remember it. What do we care?
So, cover that pretty good. Thanks for the phone call. Let's get to the next one.
All right.
Hey, guys, it's Wesley TX13. Can't say that I'm particularly happy about us backing our way into the playoffs.
We didn't back in.
Well, but I am happy that we are in the playoffs. The good news for me is I believe that if everything falls the way it should, we have two very winnable games the next couple of weeks.
My thoughts.
With the Panthers and the Eagles. I think that we can beat them without necessarily playing our perfect game and firing all cylinders. Give us a couple weeks to hopefully get a little healthier. While beating them, but also making some game plans, because we are going to have a special performance against the Vikings, I believe. The good news is that even though he's been extremely efficient this year, Drew Brees has not had some amazing Drew Brees game, and I do believe that he still is Drew Brees. I've been waiting for that all year, and it hasn't necessarily happened, but I still believe it can happen in an NFC Championship game or Super Bowl. I can't wait to hear what you guys think. Who dat?
Thanks for the call. Listen, like minds, because I feel the same way. As far as I think we can get to that, if everything plays out, although Tomas talked about throwing a wrench in there by having Atlanta upset the Rams.
You can't count your chickens before they hatch.
But if we play Carolina, I think they're beatable, especially at home. I think we can beat Philadelphia, and then we play the Vikings.
Let's beat Carolina first, and then I'll talk about the other thing. And by the way, I say this to my students all the time. When I used to be a Professor Mauricio, you know, you can only be a great teacher if you have great students. If you're expecting Brees to be great as a quarterback, he has to have great receivers. He's got one. Good luck with that.
Yeah, and I think earlier I said,
I'm just saying,
people are expecting all of a sudden the Saints, just because Drew Brees is the constant, the first ballot Hall of Famer, they think that, man, all of a sudden the light's going to come on and we're going to become.
You got no Shockey. You got no Lance Moore, you know. You got one guy, Michael Thomas.
Well, you know, and we're leaving out, because one of the things I've noticed, Kamara, not only he's now actually lining up as a receiver.
Well, yeah.
And running receiver routes.
Sure.
And what I mean by that is, like, look, we all know he can catch the ball, and it's a swing pass, a screen pass, you know, a little option route over the middle. They now they have him running slants. They have him running
skinny post.
They have him running like deep fade routes. The point is, he is literally running wide receiver routes. And I think that has to be a function of you get the matchup, because you line him up in the backfield and you motion him out. Or even when he comes onto the field, they don't know where he's lining up. So what they do is they put a safety or a linebacker out there. Now all of a sudden he's split wide outside the hashes, and you come in with a linebacker.
We had Reggie to do that, and we still had Shockey.
Right.
And we still had Lance Moore.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we don't have that.
I think people just – and maybe back when Breeze was younger, he could take anybody and make them into a great receiver. You know, we talked about, I can't remember that kid's name. It came from the New England Patriots, the receiver. He was pretty much washed up, and he had a pretty good season back in like 06, 07. I can't remember his name.
Right.
I don't think Drew Brees is at a point in his career anymore where he can take anybody and make
them. Well, I'm going to go to what you said. I think he just wants to make sure that his percentages were done for the
maybe
season.
Sometimes. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. We're going to come back. We have our picks and more Saints talk.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Ow! Ow! I love it. I love it. The New Orleans Saints in the playoffs.
Woo-hoo!
Atlanta going all the way to the West Coast to play the Rams. I don't know. What do you think, Tomas? They going to do it?
I'm telling you that it's going to be closer than people think.
You know, you like.
I'm just, look.
You beat up Atlanta until it's convenient for you.
Okay, let's look at it from one perspective.
Hey, wait a minute. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk 97.7. The Saints are in the playoffs despite a 24-31 loss to Tampa Bay, which didn't mean anything. I think we threw the game on purpose. I've read that a few places.
Yeah.
A well-timed, you know, order to Tommy Lee Lewis to fumble that ball. You know, man.
Maybe we had some bad crab legs.
Nah, man, crab legs. Anyway, you were saying.
All right. Here is one perspective that a lot of analysis, a lot of people who analyze, a lot of analysts, that's the word I want to say, a lot of analysts look at quarterback experience. Yeah. You have a quarterback who's a second-year player at the Rams. He's come on strong, no doubt about it. But this is the second year he plays a full 16-game schedule. Not the same thing as in college. It's the first time he's going to the playoffs. No experience there. Now you look on the other side of the field. You got a little Matty Ice. Let me tell you what, it's like my wife says. If he was on any other team, I'd love this guy. It's just he happened to be on a Falcons, and right. I can't, I'm sorry. But the truth of the matter is, last year, what was he? MVP of the league. The guy is a proven quarterback. He has experience, even though they choked 28-3. They haven't let him be in it, you know. But the bottom line is he has experience. They have a good defense. So I'm just saying to you, the Rams might have bitten off more than they can chew. Truthfully, it would not surprise me if Atlanta won that game. It would not surprise me.
Listen, one of the things that people just don't really take into consideration is the finality of the playoffs. Every play matters.
Yeah.
Every mistake is amplified.
Yeah.
Now, I know that sounds very stereotypical, very cliche, but the point is that, listen, shooters, man, shoot good in the first quarter, man. They shoot good at the beginning of the second. Then all of a sudden you throw them the ball with 30 seconds left and or 5 seconds left, and all of a sudden they shoot an air ball. There are things that you just take time for you to embrace the finality and the pressure of everything that's put on you to win that game. And you have guys that throw strikes all day long, man, and all of a sudden the bases are loaded, it's the World Series. Name 100 different things, all of a sudden, everything tightens up.
Yeah.
You know,
not everybody's
so the experience,
a Michael Jordan, you know?
Experience matters.
Yeah. Now, I will say, other people will say, yeah, but Tomas, the Rams have Gurley. Gurley who, like, for example, Mr. Romero here, who won his fantasy.
Gurley.
Okay.
You know, Gurley, he asked people to give a few bucks to his charity, and I couldn't find that number anywhere.
No,
you
couldn't.
I was going to send a five. You know how I do that?
Yeah,
I
know you're all about the five. But anyway, I know people are going to say Gurley because, man, look at the numbers he's put up the last 2 weeks. Okay, I can see that, except I'm going to say this to you. Atlanta is one of those defenses that actually has a linebacker who can, you're going to just assign him and say, here's your task.
Yeah.
All you got to do is cover this man. We'll take care of the rest. You shut down Gurley. You put pressure on a rookie quarterback because he's basically a rookie quarterback. You have a completely different team with the Rams.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know? I mean, here's the thing, though, and we've talked about this a little earlier. Atlanta's defense is a very good defense.
Yeah.
Their problem has been on the offensive side of the ball, and it's amazing. They have two really good running backs. They have one of the best receivers in the league. They have a solid offensive line.
Sanu.
Yeah, I forget about Sanu. Matter of fact, the other kid.
Gabriel's hurt.
The point is you have two impact receivers.
Yeah.
The point is at any point, and this is why I get so nervous when we play Atlanta, is because at any point with that talent, they could just put it together. They can make plays.
It's a matchup thing.
It's a matchup. And I agree with you.
We have a good matchup.
The Rams secondary is not an amazing secondary.
That's it.
So I can see both Jones and Sanu having big days. I mean, I can see it too, Tomas. I can see the Rams losing. But the problem I have with that, if we take care of business and all of a sudden –
Well, that's why I say
Atlanta,
to you, you can't go, you know, all this dreaming, oh, yeah, we're ready for number one and number two and number three. You can't do it because anything can happen. Everybody's 0-0. I mean, I keep saying this. Everybody's 0-0.
The great thing, though, if we have to play either Atlanta or Carolina, if either one of those guys, because I could see Atlanta, Carolina I'm talking about. Carolina can win a game.
No, they can't.
No, not against us. Okay, so they're done. They're out.
Yeah.
But the point is, either one of those teams playing somebody else,
yeah,
we see them, if we see that team, they would be at our place.
That's correct.
And I don't think they can handle us. But they can't.
Wouldn't it be a sweet thing that we beat Carolina three times, and then we play Atlanta, and we beat them two out of the three times? Sweet deal.
No, that's a sweet deal. But you know how hard it is to win a game
though,
three times.
I'm going to predict the score.
No, I'm kidding. I hate
28
when people
to
say
3. But go ahead.
Oh, God. That's very original, Tomas. You know, and I hear people, they get some, it's not funny anymore. Oh, it's still funny.
It's funny. It's funny.
And the thing about it, even if it's not funny,
it's still funny.
You still have to say it at least for the next, I don't know, what it's been about a year, about 19 more years. It's got to be just in
perpetuity.
The fabric. Yeah, in the
perpetuity.
Fabric. In the fabric of, listen. Something just hit me.
What's that?
Do you know that this week-ish is our anniversary?
It is.
2 years.
That's right.
Been doing this show for 2 years now.
Man. We're just getting started.
In all of our wisdom, we decided after the last game.
We're going to start the
– let's start our show.
7-9. Yeah, we're 7-9.
Listen,
we're out. We got nothing to do.
Let's start a Saints podcast 2 years ago. Yeah. So look at where we are now, man. Just, yeah. Sitting up in the big.
We were up in the other part of the house.
Yeah. Before we got to the palatial studios.
Before you got all the ESPN money.
Yeah, to get this paint job and everything. Yeah. Some new carpet recently. I don't know.
Man, I'll tell you what, the studio's looking good.
Come a long way.
That's come a long way.
You, hey, I tell you what though, we got some picks to make.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, I say that, man, but I feel like we've pretty much said our thoughts on it, but we got to do the official thing.
All right, let's do it.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, it's time for the official pick segment. We got four games to pick. Man, and all of them are huge spreads. So Tennessee at Kansas City. Kansas City giving up 8.5. Tomas, what you think?
Well, I'm just saying Kansas City has one of the best rosters in the league. I just can't see Mariota going to Kansas City and winning. So I'm taking Kansas City and laying 8.5.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go the other way because here's the thing. 8.5, Kansas City, man, their defense has suffered quite a few injuries. Their offense is iffy. Not that I think Tennessee's any big shakes, but 8.5, I'll take Tennessee.
All right.
If I get those 8.5 points. No. All right. So now Buffalo at Jacksonville.
Yep.
Jacksonville is giving Buffalo 8 points.
Right. Buffalo's got nothing, in my opinion. I'm sorry. Young man they have playing quarterback. The backups they have, no quarterback, in my opinion. They can really – is an NFL quarterback. So if Sean – what's the Deshaun Jackson. If Deshaun Jackson is healthy.
I heard, yeah, he might not play.
Right. Yep. He's not healthy. So to me, I have to go with Jacksonville and give up the 8 points.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I definitely think Jacksonville win the game. I agree with you. Buffalo just doesn't threaten any part of the field, no. Not in the passing game, especially if Shady's not playing. Yeah. Then, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to lay the 8 points. I'm going to go with Jacksonville. All right, moving on. Atlanta at the Rams. The Rams are giving Atlanta 6.5 points.
Well, I've already given my discussion on this.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if Atlanta were to beat the Rams. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Having said that, I'm taking Atlanta and the 6.5 points.
When it's convenient for you. I see how it is. See, you give me a hard time because I'm getting ahead of myself because you already planting it. You want Atlanta to win because you know we can beat them. So there you go.
No, I just think that Atlanta, the matchup, it's all about the matchup.
I agree with you. I do agree with you. But here's the thing. I've been living on Atlanta. They scare me to death all year, mainly because I look at that roster and I'm like, but they just don't produce to the level of their talent. Having said that, you know what? I'm going Atlanta too. I don't know. I just they have me fooled. They have me fooled. All right. So the big game. Carolina coming to the dome.
Woo-hoo.
Saints giving up 6.5 points. Tomas. Uh-huh.
All I have to say to you is this. I believe.
Do you believe?
I believe, my brother.
All right.
And so therefore, I don't care how many points it is. 6.5, not enough. I have my Saints winning this game. I'm taking the Saints.
You know what? Listen, watching Carolina, they can't score. They talk about matchups. Man, we are a running back-oriented team. We throw the backs. They have good linebackers, so sometimes I wonder about the whole matchup thing. What I think it is Cam Newton can't threaten the secondary. If you have some good corners you can cover, then all of a sudden
– which we do.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden he can't throw the ball. They can't score. It's going to be a low-scoring affair. I think it's going to be somewhere, 20-13, but I think it'll be
close. I'm not
giving
a score, but I'll tell you this. I believe the Saints will have at least 3 turnovers.
All right, so for Tomas Mauricio and Dave Romero, you've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.